but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It was not a great showing for Washington State out of the gates, but it was a win nonetheless. Coaches will tell you, you play to win the game. Jimmy Rogers is the new head coach at Washington State. He is 1-0, undefeated as the head coach there in Pullman. He's joining us now, fresh off the practice field. What is a Thursday practice like for you, Coach?
Yeah, Thursday's more, we call it a no-Thursday. It's tennis shoes, jerseys. None of it is physical. It's a full day more than anything else. Friday, we full speed, not necessarily contact, but it's helmets, it's cleats, and we're trying to get to top end speed. It's a little bit longer than Friday. Friday is just meant to try to get max capacity of speed and do things.
Have you always tried to limit that contact on, you know, or is that just something you picked up more recently in recent years? Or because I know when you were in high school, you probably weren't getting that same look.
Yeah, high school is quite a bit different. I think Tuesday, Wednesday are our physical days during the week. It's also our biggest installs on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we try to press the guys and get them to play as if it's a game and put them in certain situations and have them physically be strained. On Thursday, we try to taper back just to get their body back underneath them. And then Friday, it's no contact, but we try to go fast. It's honestly, it's like an Olympic prior to running the 100 sprints in the Olympics. They try to close to 90% of speed the day part of the game. And those days really light. So got to be twitchy to play, where it comes from.
Jimmy, there's so many variables in a game. You leave that game, that opener against Idaho, you get a chance to absorb the film. How much different did you feel about it after seeing the film versus maybe what you felt as you were leaving the field that night?
I just kind of live in the black and white. Was it good or was it not, and why was it? So I still, my feelings towards how we played offensively didn't change, but I wouldn't, it was just one particular player. Is when you play O-line or you're a tight end, an extension of our O-line, you can't have everybody take their turn making a mental error, and that's kind of what happened. And so it was a much worse product than what it would be just because you can't free and there's a little bit of lack of communication, and I think it was good to go through that adversity, but we allow it, you know, to define who we are and consistently make the same mistakes, learn from our mistakes and grow and communicate on every snap and play free with a mindset, know what I'm doing and I can play physically if I know what I'm doing. If I'm always thinking and always reactionary on offense, you know, the defense has the advantage. Defensively, I think everybody could see kind of how we play effort-wise. Most part of that game, it was really solid, but there's still plenty of things up there, whether it be rush lanes to let a quarterback get out. Now, that quarterback was good. I don't care what level he plays at. He is fast. He made some of our guys miss in tight space as far as pass rush, but overall, just tackling space and grabbing cloth and running feet and the guy making the tackle, we needed him there. But that's why we run to the ball as hard as we run to the ball. Just first guy misses the tackle, the next guy's got to make it, and you can make a lot of and be successful and cover up a lot of error, the effort and physicality in which you play with on defense.
Jimmy Rogers with us, 1-0 as a head coach at Washington State. You guys struggled running the football, and I know you probably left that film session thinking, okay, what do we need to fix there? What do you need to fix there?
Yeah, I think just some of it from communication collectively, knowing the idea in the box and who we're going to, and working in unison, and as well as like at the offensive position, like your footwork and your pad need to be on at all times. That's got to be something that it has to shore up as we move forward. The better that we get, but also the better the competition gets, we got to make sure that we're not false stepping underneath ourselves. If our job is the, you know, a stunting three or whatever it be, a blitzing linebacker at depth, like we got to tracks and beat people to the point of contact and be physical. And if we miss on the block, we still got to strain through the finish. And those things did not show up. And at times I feel like one mistake offensively, the next mistake, and those things can't happen. We got to do a job adjusting, and we got to do a better job coaching through the game.
San Diego State, you look at them on film, you know, they had a tough season last year, first year coaches, I think, do in this era. Can we speak about that a little bit? I mean, I think we saw a little bit of that across the country last year with Brett Brennan in Arizona and Jonathan Smith at Michigan State and Jed Fish at Washington and even Trent Bray at Oregon State, that, you know, coming in, taking over a program, no excuses, but in this era, it feels more challenging with the portal and the turnover. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit of the job of kind of getting everything locked in and settled down as a head coach and in that fire hydrant, you know, you're trying to drink from?
Yeah, I think for one, it's getting to know your players' strengths and weaknesses against true competition, right? You can see it at practice some capacity, but it's not really the same as when the bullets are flying. And then there's the other part with the player through the system. I don't care if they've been with you through a spring and a summer and a fall, like that's not really experienced reps, right? That's like, that's practice, and you hope that they're getting closer to what you want to be. They've been with you for less than a year, and not all freshmen play, right? So you're taking a player from a system, breaking old habits, and you're talking about communication and a new language in which they need to know. And for some of these players that you're taking into your program, they might have heard that communication, but at the last stop, that communication meant something different to them. And so there is a bit of breaking old habits and new verbiage and make sure that people understand what their job is. And I can't speak to this because our staff stuck there. I brought them with me. But I do think when you hire from outside and you always are replenishing, take another job, and coaches hire a bunch of people that they haven't worked with, I think that part takes time to get the same page as far as what your expectations are. And when you say something as far as a route or a blocking scheme, and then inside of that play, how was he, and what was your true understanding of that concept to another coach? Like, they may have past experiences, did things slightly different, and you don't know those issues because there's so much information that you're going to teach and get through to the players until the actual issue occurs, to where now it's kind of gray, right? I speak to the staff all the time as far as eliminate the gray area. This is what they're told, and this is what they do, and we'll adjust as things go, and we got to be able to respond. But I do want them living in the gray area on what is said to a player. You can't be coaching all the one-offs like, oh, yeah, on this is what you do to this. It's like, what is the rule? Is it cemented into their brain? And then when issues occur inside the game, you can say, apply your rules, follow rules. Like, but if you're always teaching the play, not the actual action of what you're trying to get done, it's great of the kid. And he plays slow, and he's constantly timid, and they don't play as fast as what they're God-given. Allows him to be.
It's a great, great coaching point. Jimmy Rogers with us. The flow of a game from a defensive standpoint, as you're up against a play caller, You're obviously thinking situationally, play by play, trying to win that play, put another team in a bad spot. But then the adjustments that you're talking about that happen within the play themselves, as the offenses are making, they get to the line of scrimmage, they look at the defense, you see it, you know, they start to make their adjustments and their checks. What can you do from a defensive standpoint to kind of adjust to the adjustment? And can you do that early in a season with a new system and new guys and that gray area you talk about?
Yeah, I think there's got to be, for one, defensively, there has to be a high level of knowledge of for what you're asking them to do, regardless if it's the call that's called in or you're switching the call. They need to know where they find. They need to know what they say immediate, because you're talking about checking the play. You have about 3 seconds to respond if you're checking your own, and then a lot of communication that has to be had across the board. And so a lot of what we do, we try to change the pre-snap call the single all the time to offenses. Just, you know, it may look like one high, it may look like two high, it may look like cover four, it may look like we're pressing. And half the time in which people are checking into things, they're checking into something that we're showing them that we're not even running. And so we need to make sure that we're able to adjust and be able to play the play in our bubbles a lot of the times. Now we will make adjustments, and we check defenses at the line of scrimmage when offenses check. But at the same time, that comes with a certain heightened sense of urgency to communicate all the way across the board. If you're checking in from a man, everybody needs to know who they're covering immediately. Otherwise, you're going to give up a big... And I would say the same thing with if you're in a man concept and you're going to a zone concept, everybody needs to know what their zone is so that, you know, there isn't just a vacant because somebody's playing man that shouldn't be. There's got to be a conversation in between pre-snap, post-snap, and in between the snap on the next play that you're talking on every single play, because kind of how you solve a lot of the issues. Wrong or right, we're going to play one defense together. That's what I tell the players, like, doesn't necessarily matter that it's the perfect check. It matters that you are playing one thing collectively together.
The idea that, you know, your job is to win football games. Part of your job is to win football games. Winning ugly, winning pretty, does that matter to you?
It all matters to me. This will be sick to some people, but I don't judge off of, like, my career is based off wins and losses. I'm aware of that, but I've been a part of games where you play poorly and you win a game. Mm. I've been part of games that we've played great and we've lost. And at the end of the day, you only can control what you can control. And I would rather have a level of consistency of playing great and living with the circumstances of losing, rather than if we play awful and squeak ones out. We kind of take for granted all the errors happened because we won. Because the generation of kid that we're living with, as long as the result is as if it's okay. But the reality is they're going to suffer more later on if they don't change their habits and focus of their actions. Like, it has to change, otherwise a better team will just beat you.
How'd you feel on week one? Was it a, we played all right and won, or was it we played great and won?
Oh, we didn't play great. No, yeah, we didn't play great. We didn't really play great in any facet. But I would say the thing I was pleased with was just with a lot of new people,
yeah,
and a lot of new personalities and emotions on a team, nobody had the knees or felt bad for themselves, or, you know, more than anything, they didn't point the finger. And that's what I was really proud of our defense about, as far as the positions that they got put in. And then the response for our offense to respond when really nothing was working and having the success that we were expecting or thought that we would have, to be able to go out and just forget everything that had happened and execute a 2-minute drive. Regardless if it's a, you know, lower level team, I just came from the lower level. And I think if you are good, you're good. Like, a lot of players that we brought with us are good players, and they're going to be good players at this level as well. So the response, because the attitude was good. I think if your attitude is right and your mindset is right, you have the opportunity to open things. if you get into your feelings and you bitch and complain about what isn't working and you point the finger that it's always somebody else's fault, I think that's where you have zero shot, regardless of the adjustments that you make.
Jimmy Rogers, I appreciate you. Good luck in this weekend, and I'll catch you down the road.
Appreciate it. Thanks for it.
You bet. There he goes, Jimmy Rogers, Washington State coach. 1-0, lightning in a bottle. He's got Sean Lewis and San Diego State on Saturday night. Next week on the program, Sean Lewis, San Diego State head coach, will be joining us. I love that we're getting to talk to these coaches. I love that, you know, we get to know them a little bit. You can get a feel for what Jimmy Rogers is about just hearing that interview, the intensity and the expectations, most of all. Leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.